Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, so can I give you these stats? You still aren't impressed. You saw the stats and you
I saw them.
So Trammell's Hall of Fame resume, 6 All-Star selections.
Good. I could probably find a few guys who have made 6 All-Star
4
games
Gold Gloves.
Okay, so.
The Wild won the game, by the way. 3 Silver Slugger Awards.
That means nothing.
4 and a World Series MVP.
Okay, plenty of guys have won that. You're going to put, who won a couple years ago? There's been a few. One second.
It's going to take a while to come up with those names. So, and then he gets into the Hall of Fame. You still contend that Alan Trammell does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Listen to this guy, Detroit. Listen to this guy, the blasphemy.
Actually, absolutely. I don't think he deserves to be there. Does Ben Zobrist belong in the Hall of Fame? He won a World Series MVP. Does Pablo Sandoval? He won a World Series MVP. What about Edgar Renteria? You want to put him in? I don't think winning a World Series MVP means anything.
So 6 All-Stars, 4 Gold Gloves, 3 Silver Sluggers, and a World Series MVP, and that's not good enough. Do you put Bonds in?
Absolutely. 100%.
So as he aged, media and fans turned against Bonds because of legally leaked to the media evidence mounted that he had used PEDs in the latter part of his career. With his name in the headlines more regarding his legal situation than his on-field exploits, he pursued an eclipse of Hank Aaron's 33-year-old home run record turned into a joyless drag as he disappeared from the majors soon after breaking the record in 2007, despite ranking among the game's most dangerous hitters even at age 43. Not until 2014 did he even debut as a spring training guest instructor for the Giants. The reversal of his felony obstruction of justice conviction in April 2015 freed him of legal hassles, and he spent 2016 as the Marlins hitting coach, though he was fired at season's end. He's hardly alone as a Hall of Fame candidate with links to PEDs. Clemens, Palmeiro, McGuire, Sosa, debuting at 36% in 2013. Bonds spun his wheels for 2 years before climbing to 44% in 16 and 53% in 17 due to a confluence of factors. But just as he crossed historically significant 50 threshold, the Hall unilaterally truncated candidacies from 15 years to 10 so as to curtail debate over the PED-linked ones, has made it strong statement yet that it would like to avoid honoring him in the form of a plea to voters from Vice Chairman Joe Morgan not to honor players connected to steroids. So what now? You got to do it within 10 years?
Correct. It's at 10 years now. Yeah, you have to get in there within 10 years.
So now it was 15 before, and now it's 10?
They've changed it to 10. A couple years ago, they changed it.
So what year is he in now? You're telling me he's in, like, year 4 or something?
4 or 5.
He debuted in, listen, he spun his wheels for 2 years before climbing. So what? Oh, he debuted in 2013, so he has till 23?
Correct.
So, thank you, Ryan. Do you think he can... Do you think he can do it?
Yes,
before
I do. I feel like it's starting to rise for the steroid, for him, Clemens, and...
Well, he's already at 53.8%. Why do you think it's going up so significantly from 36% to 53%? Why do you think that is?
I feel like there's a couple factors here. One is, I think that there's guys who wanted to put him in, but wanted him to wait a certain amount of time, whether it be 4 years or 5 years or 6 years. They didn't want him going in too early. I think there's other people who, after one of those dumb committees put Bud Selig in, who, let's be honest, if you put Bud Selig in the Baseball Hall of Fame, all the steroid guys should go in. Now, the writers didn't put Bud Selig in. I get that part of it. But still, he's in the Hall of Fame. So if Bud Selig was basically the Pied Piper of steroid use in Major League Baseball in the late 90s.
As a 21-year-old, Bonds hit just .223 for the Pirates in 86 and struck out 102 times. The only season he would reach triple digits in that category. Batting leadoff most of the time, he did homer 16 times, steal 36 bases, walk 65 times in 484 plate appearances, and play above-average defense in center field en route to a respectable 3.5 WAR. shifting to left field to accommodate the arrival of Andy Van Slyke in 87. And I was there for all of this. I covered the Pirates every single day from 87 to 90, right? And this is when they got good with Bonds, Bonilla, and Van Slyke. You remember? And Jim Leland. Bonds improved to 25 home runs, 32 steals, 5.8 war, and a 261 average, 329, 492 line. His plate discipline and the respect accorded to him by NL pitchers advanced significantly over the next 2 years. He drew 14 intentional walks in 88, 22 out of 93 in 89, and he slumped to 19 homers and 248 average in the latter year. Anyway, that winter, the Pirates and Dodgers discussed a trade that would have sent third baseman Jeff Hamilton and John Welland to Pittsburgh for Bonds. He stayed in Pittsburgh and broke out in 90, earning All-Star and Gold Glove honors. The 30-30 feat placed him in select company as only one of 13 players to reach that dual milestone. His father had done it five times, joining Mays as one of two other players to that point who had done so twice. His slugging percentage and his WAR went up to 9.7, both led the league. The Killer Bees helped the Pirates go 95-67, win the East for the first time since 79. They lost six-game NLCS to the Reds. Then they repeated as NL East champs in each of the next two seasons as well. Then they fell to the Braves in a seven-game NLCS both times. He led the NL in with a 410 on-base percentage in 91, led in both on-base and slugging percentages in 92. And he led the league in walks with 127, 32 intentional. I mean, this guy, I kid you not. Okay, so at the end of his time in Pittsburgh, he was 28. He signed a six-year, $43 million deal with the Giants. So what was bizarre was is that I went to San Francisco then, right? So I ended up in, I left Pittsburgh. I went to Florida. I did A-ball. Then I went to Las Vegas and went national. Then I went to CNN Atlanta. And then I went to KNBR San Francisco, which was the home of the Giants. And guess who appeared the same year I ended up in San Francisco in 94? Barry Bonds. So there I was covering Barry Bonds again every day for a living. And, I mean, the numbers that that guy put up in San Francisco. I mean, they won 103 games. Lost out to the 104-win Braves for the NL West flag due to a pair of homers by Mike Piazza on the final day of the season. He hit, listen to this, 303, 37 homers, 28 steals, 130 walks in 98. Out there, I mean, just incredible. He set career highs with 49 home runs in 2000, second in the league, one short of Sosa's total. He hit 306. The Giants won the NL West, but fell to the Mets in the division series. He lost out in the MVP to Kent at 334. I mean, this guy was unbelievable, right? And his 71st blast off Chano Park in October of 2001 broke McGuire's three-year-old record, but it was his 72nd homer also off Park. Came in the same game in which San Francisco was eliminated from postseason contention. He became the first four-time MVP in baseball history and kicked off another stretch of four straight years in which he led the league in WAR, finishing his season with a career-high 11.9. And this guy, how can you not put this guy in the Hall of Fame? Oh, because they're going to say he was juiced for all of it. They're going to say he was juiced for all of the San Francisco years. Is that about right, Carver High?
Certainly sounds that way.
But the Pittsburgh years, they got nothing on him, right? It was all in San Francisco. Would you say
he's
that
also never failed a test?
Would you say that his numbers in Pittsburgh earn him the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Barely or convincingly?
I think he's a Hall of Famer even without it.
Wow. So do I. I think it's just unbelievable that he even has to, like, that they even have to wait for this is unbelievable to me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.